Bob Oates, sitting in for Christopher Lydon. This is The Connection. Disagreement over the Golan Heights stalled the Syrian-Israeli peace talks this week, and once again, the world was reminded that land is the mother of all disputes in the Middle East. Almost every inch of the region's land is contested terrain, and nowhere more so than in the west bank of the River Jordan. The Oslo peace agreements are an attempt to settle the land dispute between Palestinians and Israelis, but they've not been able to address the demolition of Palestinian homes in Israeli-controlled territory. Since 1987, Israeli authorities have torn down almost 2,700 Palestinian homes and left about 17,000 Palestinians homeless. The demolitions are just the normal operation of municipal laws, according to the Israeli authorities, and they are carried out in the interest of public safety and in accord with the civil laws. But activists, both Arab and Jewish, have long maintained they are discriminatory and in violation of Palestinian human rights. Amnesty International's recently released report agrees with the activists and calls on the West to press the Israeli government to end the policy. Connection listeners, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to make the Land for Peace connection this hour. In the studio with us, Jeff Halper, coordinator of the Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions and a professor of anthropology at Ben-Gurion University. Also, Salim Shawari, did I say that correctly?
Yeah.
An employee of the Palestinian Ministry of Industry and a resident of Jerusalem whose home has been demolished twice and it's been rebuilt three times. By phone, Hanan Ashwari, member of the Palestinian Council for Jerusalem, and David Bar-Ilan, columnist for the Jerusalem Post. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. And, Salim, let's start with you. Tell us about your experience. Why was your house demolished the first time, and why do you keep rebuilding?
Let me introduce myself at the first. My family has been forced to leave Amishaga. That's a village which destroyed by the Israelis before 1948. It's one of the 418 villages which destroyed before 1948. So they moved and live inside the old city of Jerusalem. I born in Jerusalem in 1956. Then I graduated from vocational training center in Jerusalem as a construction technician foreman, supervisor. In 1967, we forced to move to Shefat refugees camp, which is near Jerusalem, 3 kilometers at the east of Jerusalem, old city of Jerusalem. They given us their a room which is about 6 meters by 3 meters, given by the United Nations. We are at that time 5 brothers, 5 sisters. Then when I graduated from vocational training center in 1979, I went to Saudi Arabia. I worked there for about 8 years. Then when I come back, I want to be in our Shafat refugee camp, in our home, but it's all overcrowded by people. My brothers and their children are very much so. I tried to bought a land in the nearby village, which is called Anata. I bought that land from its owner. Everything is legal. Israeli authorities stamped that this is legal. There is no problem in the land. And I start trying to get a permit to build a home for me and my family. From 1990 until 1994, I'm trying to get a permit. 3 times I applied, and all the time they are telling me that. The first time they told that it's out of planning. Out of village planning. And the second time they told me that it has a big slope. As everybody knows that Jerusalem is located on mountains and that the slope should be. The third time they told me if you apply for an agricultural approval, we'll give you. Then I apply it also. At the end they told me you lose two signatures from the ownership. Which two signatures nobody knows.
So you felt like you were being given the runaround, so to speak.
Yeah, I tried to do everything legal, but at the end I start building a home in 1994, living inside with my family.
Without a permit.
Living inside with my family until the 9th of July 1998. I get in a court and they give me a home demolition. That's in 1995.
In other words, they told you then that your home was illegally built and they were going to tear it down.
Yeah, they told me that it is illegal and they have to demolish it, but nobody come and we are living in the home, me and my family. 9th of July, I'm sitting, imagine yourself sitting around the table to take your lunch with your kids, and a big voice, I heard a big voice outside, a lot of people. Then when I went out, soldiers are on the door. They told me that this is your home. I said yes. They thought this is not yours now. You have 15 minutes to take your belongings and children's out, and we have to destroy it. A struggle happened between me and them. I tried to, this is my home. I tried to push them, but they kicked me and arrest me and put me at the side. Then they start breaking the windows of the home and shooting inside a tear gas just to let my children and my family get out of the home. And then they start breaking by a big hammer. They broke the door and let take all my children and my wife out by kicking and by pulling them from their herd and, you know, these things. A lot of people heard about the situation which we are in. And an Israeli committee against home demolition with the general land defense people, they came because it took a time to get out of to get us out of the home.
How many people were living inside at that time?
My children are six, and me and my children, we are eight people living in the home. It's about 80 square meters. It's two bedrooms with a dining room. It's not a big building. And it's not over the ground. It's with the ground coming. So a lot of people come, and most of trying to stop that home demolition. But nobody success. They start kicking us, and they start shooting to the people. Seven people that they injured. One of them, he's 16 years old. He lost his kidney. And they destroyed the home.
And did you get your possessions out?
They bring a subcontractor people, South African people they brought with them all the time, that when you didn't take your furnishers out, they are taking them out by Without screwdrivers, without anything, just bullying and throwing out.
So they emptied the home, but not in a manner in which you got everything out without damage.
Yeah, it's all damage. It's all damage.
Mm-hmm.
Then we live in a tent which given to us by a Red Cross behind the ruins of our home. Israeli Committee Against Home Demolitions with the land defense, general land defense people came to us, and all we suggested that we have to rebuild the home again because it is a political destroying.
Okay. We'll come back to your story because I do want to know why you rebuilt and what happened when it was demolished again and why you rebuilt again. But first, let's go to another of our guests, David Barillon, who's joining us by telephone right now. Lay out the policy for us, if you would. Why do things like this happen? David Barillon, are you with us?
Your interviewee said himself that it was illegally built. Now, obviously, I cannot answer to any specific case because I don't know the details, although I understand from very quick inquiry that there was a matter of dispute of the ownership of the land. And I do understand that the building was built in a place where it might have interfered with town planning. And anywhere in the world, any self-respecting government would not allow such a thing to happen. When the man is warned that his building cannot go up and that it will be demolished and refuses to leave, I suppose that some kind of force can be used. I'm not saying that the force was not excessive. I don't say that a bureaucrat was not obtuse because I don't know the specific case. But I do know one fact, and that is something that you don't seem to pay any attention to. And that is the fact that in Jerusalem, where most of the complaints are lodged, the pace of Arab building, half of which, by the way, is illegal, but is let alone, the pace of Arab building is faster than the pace of Jewish building. That the Arab population of Jerusalem has increased from 26% of the population in 1967 to 30% at present. That means that all these stories, while any specific case might be one of a legitimate complaint, all these stories don't amount to very much. Even the numbers cited by the by Amnesty International, which I don't usually trust, but even the number of 2,700 buildings demolished in the West Bank in Jerusalem, considering that at least 30,000 buildings have been left alone, all of them illegally built, I don't think this is an excessive number. The policy is very simple. We do not demolish illegally built buildings just because they're illegally built, but only when they either present a security danger or if they are really in direct contravention of town planning. That is, if, for instance, a building is built where a road is supposed to be paved, it is not going to be allowed to stand. It so happens that in this case, I believe that the authorities now have decided to let this third effort of the building to remain, but I don't really know the details of the case to say anything specific.
Are you aware of that, Salim, that your third house is going to be allowed to stand?
I hope that it will be allowed to stand because I'm looking for a home to live with my family. As I said, that...
But you have not been told that it's going to be allowed to stand. Is that correct or not correct?
It's correct. I didn't told that it is allowed to stand.
Well, perhaps David Barilan has just given you some good news for a change.
Well, I can't go into... I'm not in the government now, and I can't deal with anything specifically and gather the information that is necessary to answer these questions. But, you know, this always reminds me of the way the Soviets used to describe life in the West, how terrible it was and how unjust it was in specific cases. And they would cite cases which may or may not have been true. But the fact is that people vote with their feet. When the Jordanians illegally occupied the West Bank and part of Jerusalem, the population was reduced by one-third. Under Israeli rule, the population is increasing at a faster pace than the Jewish population. And that, I think, is the main indication that one should pay attention to, because obviously people do not come in order to be oppressed.
But the accusation...
Because this is a better life than they can have under the corrupt dictatorship of the Palestinian Authority. This is what's happening here.
But part of the accusation is that what the Israelis are very concerned about is just that the Palestinian population is growing, and that the move, the unspoken, the goal is to get it back down to 26%.
Well, either we are the most incompetent or the most stupid people in the world, because the fact is that we have not at all succeeded, and the fact is that the life under Israeli rule is so much better than anything these people can have anywhere else that they are living with us, and we welcome it. There is no effort, nor can there be a legal effort, to do anything about reducing the population. And once the CNN, believing the Palestinian propaganda, said that the Arab population in Jerusalem is dwindling, they had to apologize in public for making such a statement, because the fact is, as I said before, the Arab population is growing faster than the Jewish population. Now, remember, the Jewish population has always been a majority in the city of Jerusalem, at least for 150 years, and obviously I'm talking about a per capita growth. But as I mentioned before, from 26%, they are now 30% of the population in Jerusalem.
Let's bring in another voice, Hanan Ashrawi. Yes. Thank you for joining us, and go right ahead and respond.
Yes, it is about time, because I believe that Mr. Barilan has been guilty of misleading you entirely. There is no way in which any Palestinian population would prefer to live under Israeli occupation than freely in its own land. And there is no way in which any type of occupation, usurpation of rights, the whole enslavement of a people is a desirable or benign situation. It is entirely illegal. From the beginning, since 1967, Israel has systematically adopted the policy of house demolitions as, first of all, a form of collective punitive measures. Anybody suspected, arrested, detained of any act of resistance against the occupation had his house either sealed or demolished. We've had over 12,000 homes destroyed since the occupation, even more than that. But this is the most conservative estimate. Israel has used also planning and zoning in order to create an artificial situation and to prevent further building as an occupying power, not as a legal government. Israel in Jerusalem has changed the municipal boundaries of Jerusalem, has confiscated land, has brought in 170,000 settlers in and around Jerusalem, has totally besieged Jerusalem and cut it off. and has been systematically applying the house demolition policy to create a demographic and territorial imbalance in Jerusalem. There is no way in which he can tell me that there was a Jewish majority in Palestinian Jerusalem since 67. There was zero Jewish presence in East Jerusalem, and it became 170,000 of settlers with subsidized housing, with subsidized settlement on confiscated Palestinian land. In addition, the Israelis started confiscating Palestinian IDs from Jerusalem. And as a result of that, Palestinians chose not to live outside the Israeli-defined boundaries of Jerusalem and went back to live in extremely crowded conditions in order to avoid the loss of their Jerusalem IDs. It is not that they prospered and the population flowered under Israel. It's because they did not want to lose their IDs since Israel was confiscating Jerusalem IDs from the Palestinians. In addition to all that, Israel specifically withheld building permits from Palestinians, and therefore they could not accommodate the population growth. People like Salim had to build illegally, not because it's illegal by internet, it's his own land. He had to build because he was not given a permit. This is the case of thousands of people who applied for building permits, who were never granted permits. It takes between 10 and 20 years to get a permit, if any. And then it costs between $20,000 to $100,000. And you know that the building permits given to Palestinians are absolutely minimal, a couple of hundred, in exchange for the subsidized settlements being built illegally in contravention of international law and the Fourth Geneva Convention on stolen Palestinian land.
Let's come back.
The situation is of comprehensive injustice, of creating a total demographic and territorial imbalance, of blatant collective punishment, and this has been documented systematically, not just by Amnesty International, whom Mr. Bar-Ilan has total disregard for, but also by Israeli human rights organizations, including B'Tselem, including the Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions.
And let's come back to...
I think it's time that we deal with facts rather than with propaganda and really very malicious and racist fiction.
Let's come back to David Bar-Ilan for his response.
I hope you noticed that Hanan Ashrawi said that it was not 2,700, as Amnesty says it is, but 12,000 now. These numbers fly around. These numbers fly around very freely when it comes to the sort of propaganda to which the Palestinians are subjecting you. And the fact is, of course, that there is no occupation involved here, because occupation can only happen when you occupy part of a sovereign nation. There was no sovereign Palestinian nation here. To talk about it as Palestinian land is the biggest fiction and the biggest hoax ever perpetrated on the 20th century. And the fact is that the policy is exactly what they said it was, and maybe it Hanan Ashrawi says that they don't get permits and that their permits are very expensive, but so they build without permits. Perhaps they are very lucky, because it doesn't cost them any money to build without any permits. And the fact is that the vast majority of the buildings that are built without permit are allowed to stay. Only the two criteria which I mentioned before are used for demolitions. And the fact is that in Jerusalem, for instance, the number of demolitions range from 12 to 20 a year. That's a very small number compared to the hundreds of buildings that are built here by the Arab population every year. The only two criteria, as I mentioned before, is whether or not they are a security problem, or if they intervene in town planning to the extent that it makes it impossible to circumvent the building.
So true or not true, from your point of view, that there is an intentional slowdown in granting building permits, a slowdown that is intended to hold down the population of Palestinians in Jerusalem?
Absolutely not true. As a matter of fact, the Arab population of Jerusalem itself, if you talk to its leadership, they will tell you that one of the reasons they don't apply for permits is because they don't admit that we have jurisdiction in the city, that the Israeli government does not have jurisdiction in Jerusalem. That's why they don't moment apply for permits. There is no intentional slowdown, except I will say one thing. Nobody will tell you that that Israeli bureaucracy, perhaps like any other bureaucracy, is very fast. They're very slow, and many Jews complain very bitterly, and sometimes Jews build also illegally, and they get demolished too, as all the statistics show. There is no intentional intention to diminish the Arab population of Jerusalem.
All right, hang on, everyone. Let's bring the fourth voice in, Jeff Halper, who's sitting in the studio, shaking his head no to your answer, David Bar-Ilan. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I mean, what David Bar-Ilan says is pure propaganda with absolutely no relationship to the facts on the ground, either facts that are easily available or what's really happening on the ground. And then he jumps very quickly. For example, the whole idea that occupation is only for sovereign nations is an amazing statement for a Jew to make, because the Fourth Geneva Convention, which is the basis of modern international human rights law, that was adopted in 1949, was adopted precisely with the experience of the Jews of the Holocaust in mind. It's intended to protect civilian populations in a belligerent occupation, and the Jews were not a nation in that time. The whole basis of international human rights laws is the Jews in Europe who were not a sovereign state. So the idea of that human rights are somehow only applicable to people that have sovereign nations and therefore they're not applicable to Palestinians is a terrible thing to say.
Come back to the housing question.
Now, the housing question, I mean, what Israel has succeeded in doing is creating a mechanism of planning and laws that serves its purposes. It's really a kind of a cynical use of law and planning for political purposes. There are no Jewish houses demolished whatsoever. Never. Occasionally, you'll have a situation which is extremely rare of a porch maybe that's demolished or a little addition or something, but that's extremely rare. In fact, all the demolitions take place among the Palestinians, whether it's in East Jerusalem or on the West Bank or in Gaza. No demolitions take place among the Jews at all.
But we do read stories. Mm-hmm. We do hear about Israeli settlements being taken down. The Barak government has done
so. That's not true. There's never been a settlement. It's simply not true. There were 42 settlements declared illegal in the last few months. None of those settlements were taken down. None of them were dealt with. But to kind of just provide some headlines, there was a small illegal group of three houses of one particular family that was moved 100 meters away. And that was called dismantling the settlement. At the same time, in order to appease the settlers, Palestinian houses were demolished. And there's 42 Palestinian families who were displaced from their lands around the place where that settlement was. So it's simply not true. Settlements are not demolished. Israeli homes are not demolished. And the point that's the most important here is that this is a cynical use of law and planning for political purposes. The political purpose is to constrain Palestinians from building, to confine them in small ghettos in East Jerusalem. And Bar-Ilan talks, it's an amazing thing how much we welcome Palestinians. Mayor Olmert went into a panic a couple months ago when a census showed that for the first time the Palestinian population went above 30%. Israel's explicit and stated policy is that Jerusalem will maintain a 78%, a 72%, 28% domination of Jews over Arabs. Now, if you would imagine in Boston or another city where the official policy is that the black population or the Hispanic population or the Jewish population will not, it is forbidden for that population to go beyond 28%. And we'll do everything possible from home demolitions to land expropriations to denying residency rights that Jerusalem does in order to keep those figures, that demographic proportion. I mean, there would be no. It would be outrageous. There's no question that this is racist.
But David Bar-Ilan, you've already said that that's not true. Am I correct on that?
Of course, it's not true. And if this professor who teaches at the university can bring me any proof that anybody has actually declared, I'm not talking about people rabble-rousing in the streets. I'm talking about any official of the Israeli government who said that the population has to stay at a certain proportion. I'm not even mentioning the fact that it has grown from 26% to over 30%. and obviously without any kind of interference by the authorities, the fact is that it has grown. And why has it grown? Because Arabs like to live here. And why has it grown? Because Israelis do not do anything against Arab living here. Now, if you can show me one government in the world that does not enforce the law, I'll show you anarchy. The law is that you have to get a permit to build a building. If you don't recognize the jurisdiction of the authorities, it's tough luck. You have to get a permit. Nevertheless, we are so lenient about it that 99% of the buildings that are built illegally are allowed to stay. He doesn't mention to you. They're allowed to stay.
Hang on for a second. Hanan Ashrawi, we've got about a minute before we take a little break, and I want you to respond.
Absolutely incredible and racist. Incredible. Jerusalem is occupied territory. The Palestinians are living in horrible conditions, with no services, with high taxation, without any rights. And at the same time, they are withstanding these conditions in order to stay in their city. And that's not because they either recognize or like Israeli occupation. It's because they want to stay in their city where they have been living for centuries, and not out of the kindness of the heart of Israel, despite the fact that they've been isolated, they've been subject to closure, and they have been surrounded by illegal settlements. There were thousands, hundreds of thousands of building, not permits, but building settlements around Jerusalem.
We need to go to a break here. I want you to hang on. In fact, I want to make sure everyone hangs on during the break. Stay tuned. We'll talk more after. This is WBUR Boston.
Funding for The Connection comes from the listeners at WBUR Boston, where The Connection is produced. And from the Allaire Corporation, empowering people with innovative internet technology and offering dynamic career opportunities at Allaire.com.
I'm Bob Oakes, sitting in for Chris Lydon today. This is The Connection. We're talking about the demolition of Palestinian homes in Jerusalem and the West Bank, and the heated conversation that results from what happens when houses are demolished. 1-800-423-TALK, 1-800-423-8255 is the telephone number to join the Connection. Our guests this hour are Salim Shawamre, a Palestinian who's rebuilt his West Bank house three times, Hanan Ashrawi, member of the Palestinian Labor Council, and David Bar-Alon, former cabinet minister with the Netanyahu government, and also in the studio, Jeff Halper, coordinator of the Israeli Committee Against Housing Demolitions. And let's reset the question, if we can, as we go into the second half hour, Jeff Halper. From your point of view, explain the policy and what's wrong with it.
The policy of house demolitions is a crucial component in maintaining the occupation and foreclosing, and this is the most important part of it, foreclosing any possibility of a real peace between Israelis and the Palestinians. House demolitions, like other mechanisms of control, settlements and settlement expansion, massive bypass roads, closure and so on, the economic closure of the territories, all these are intended to create such a massive Israeli presence on the West Bank and East Jerusalem and Gaza that no viable Palestinian state, and therefore no peace between Israelis and Palestinians, could ever emerge. So the house demolitions, on the one hand, are personal tragedies. I mean, it's very difficult to convey to someone, and I invite all your listeners to think about your home with your children's toys and your room and the memories and the pictures and the money you've put in and the furniture and the thought. This is your life. It's a personal violation, a violation of violence that's very hard to get across to people. And certainly doesn't come together with the idea of peace. And certainly isn't some technical thing like David Bar-Ilan is presenting that all countries do it. And so we knock down a couple houses and so what? It's only 12 houses, only 20 houses and so on.
Well, what do you want the Israeli government to do? Granting every building permit is not an option, I wouldn't assume. It isn't here in the U.S. People own land, and yet you can't necessarily get a permit to build on every piece of property here.
That's right. But the great falseness here, The great falseness is that the law represents justice. You know, if the law is divorced from justice and democracy, it can be very oppressive. The law is only one component. There were many laws made against Jews, the most famous being the Nuremberg Laws, that were legal. They went through the German parliament. You have laws against the blacks in South Africa that were laws. They were legal laws that went through parliaments and the court reconfirmed them and so on.
Well, coming back to my question, what is it you want the Israeli government to do?
So what we want the Israeli government to do, first of all, is to stop demolishing houses, is to get into a real relationship with the Palestinians, that the actual needs of Palestinian families on the ground, the Palestinians, the economic needs, the political needs, the social needs are addressed. But in the end, we cannot, and Shimon Peres says this all the time, we cannot run the lives of another people. There has to be a viable, just, lasting peace. There has to be a viable relationship between us and the Palestinians in which the Palestinians run their own lives. Why? What right do we have to go into the West Bank or into East Jerusalem, which in fact is occupied, and tell the Palestinians where they can build and where they can't build, when in fact the Palestinians have, and this is different from the states. In the states, you vote for the city council, you vote for the Congress, you vote for people to make the laws. So the planning laws and the zoning serve the whole public. That's true. In Israel, you have one population hostile to another population. The Palestinians have absolutely no say in making any of these laws, in determining any of the zoning. None of the budgets and none of the laws come to really serve the interests of the Palestinian people. They serve instead the interests of the occupation.
And
so the bottom line is we have to have a real peace in which the Palestinians control their own lives. And that's good. And this is the most important point. It's just as vital for Israelis to have this kind of a peace as it is for the Palestinians.
David Barilon, you would agree or would you not agree that as long as housing demolitions continue to occur as they are now, that there can be no measure of true peace?
Well, first of all, I must say that it is really beyond the pale for anyone to compare the laws of the Israeli government with those of the Nuremberg laws under the Nazis and the apartheid laws. This is really absolutely beyond the pale, and I frankly feel that you shouldn't have anybody on the program who makes this kind of comparison.
Well, let's come back
It is so humiliating and offensive that I don't think that there is any discussion here.
Well, let's come back to the question of housing.
Just one second. The fact is that the occupation of Jerusalem was only by the Jordanian army, at which point, you know, Hanan Ashrawi said that there was a zero population in the Arab section of Jerusalem. What stupid nonsense that is. I mean, after all, the Jordanians destroyed 58 synagogues. Did those 58 synagogues serve a zero population? There was a majority of Jews even in what she calls the Arab part of Jerusalem, always, for 150 years. Those Jews
ridiculous.
Were either killed
that's
or kicked out of that
area. Hang on. One voice at a time, folks.
That is incredible. I don't see how you are opening this channel for total fabrications and distortion. I live in Jerusalem. I live in Ramallah. I'm a Jerusalemite. I have known Jerusalem before 67. There were no Israelis in
of course there were no before
East Jerusalem.
Before,
now,
in 1948?
No, I'm sorry.
If you go back to 1947, Jews owned 7% of the land. Palestinians owned 93% of all of Palestine. Israel was created in 47 by UN Resolution 181, and it gave Israel 56% of Palestine. In 48, Israel conquered 21% more. In 1967, it occupied the remaining 22%, which included East Jerusalem. So I think let's set the record straight. There was never in the history of mandatory Palestine or historical Palestine a majority Jewish population. Now in Israel, there is a majority Jewish population. There is a Zionist government. They want to have a state. We have accepted the idea of a two-state solution. We have accepted the Israeli state over the majority of Palestinian land. It doesn't mean that now they are trying to distort the facts and to dispute and take over in a massive land theft what is left of historical Palestine, the 22%, which are part of the 1967 UN Resolution 242, the land for peace equation, the basis of the peace process.
All right, this is what I'm going to do. Hanan, hang on for a second. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to let David Barillon respond to this, and then I'm coming right back to the housing question, because we're not going to solve perhaps we're not going to solve anything here this hour, but in the 18 minutes we have left, I want to focus on the housing question. So David Barillon, respond to this, and then we'll come back to housing.
Yeah, when I say that the Jewish majority in Jerusalem has nothing to do with Zionism or with the Jewish government, it is the census taken by the British and before that by the Turks.
Yes,
it's absolutely indisputable, and there's no question about it. It's not done by us. It's done by authorities that were here before us. The fact is that there was a majority. It was eliminated in that part which was captured by the Jordanian army, because all the Jews there were either killed or expelled. But that isn't the point. I want to address myself to what Mr. Halper said, which I think is really a very strong and important point of the agony that is inflicted on people who live in a building and who have to leave it and who are bereft of their possessions, or at least their possessions are thrown out of a demolished building. I wonder if he feels the same way about the 18,000 people who live on the Golan now and who are being asked to do exactly that. That is, take all the possessions, all their memories, everything that they've grown up with for 33 years, children and grandchildren, and leave it in order to have peace between us and Syria. I'm sure that his chagrin over this is far less heart-rending than it is over people who continuously and repeatedly build against the law and disregarding warnings to leave, and then cry over the demolished building. And
David,
I'm not
Barillon,
realizing the tragedies, the personal tragedies, which obviously occur as a result of this.
Well, recognizing that there are personal tragedies, and recognizing that home demolitions are a bone of contention, and recognizing that unless there's change, there will continue to be perhaps be no movement on the peace issue unless this issue can be resolved. Tell me, David Barillon, how you would evolve the municipal laws to make some sort of accommodation, or should there be no accommodation?
There can be. I am all for making bureaucracy a little less complicated, but I've inveighed against the bureaucracy we have in Israel for a very long time, and not necessarily for the treatment of Palestinians, but for the treatment of everybody. And I think that permits should probably be made easier, but the refusal to apply for a permit, as I said before, is not derived from the fact that it is difficult to get it, but because most Palestinian Arabs are told not to recognize jurisdiction of Israel, the jurisdiction of Israel.
But when they do apply and they're repeatedly turned down, as our guest in the studio has been.
Having built an apartment in Jerusalem myself, let me tell you that bureaucracy here is really very heavy-handed and sometimes obtuse, and I'm all for easing permits. But please remember, keep it in proportion. We're talking about a dozen to 20 demolitions a year. So even under the present...
2,000 demolition orders in East Jerusalem alone.
We're talking about Jerusalem, yes. We're in other places, it is close to 100. But in Jerusalem, it is between 12 and 20 a year in the past few years. And this is a result, as I said, of buildings being built in places where they really interfere either with security or with town planning. All the others are allowed to stay. In order to legalize things and not to encourage illegality, I think the government should just make permits a little easier. But nothing else should be changed. Governments are there to enforce the law, and this is precisely what the government of Israel does.
1-800-423-TALK, 1-800-423-8255. As you can imagine, we have lots of calls backed up on to speak on the connection today. We're going to take a few in the remaining moments. Alex, you're on the connection. Thanks for calling.
Yes, hi. Thank you. I have a question for Jeff Halper and whoever else wants to respond to it. He seems to be against home demolitions carried out by the government of Israel. How does he feel about home demolitions carried out by the Palestinian Authority? And I ask that because such things are taking place and have taken place. They took place when Hanan Ashrari was a member of that government. They took place in Gaza, carried out by the Fatah Hawks, even before the Palestinian Authority officially took over. But after September of 93, after the peace process got off the ground, Fatah Hawks were tearing down buildings on state land, protecting state land under orders of Arafat. And since the Palestinian Authority became formalized and has become more, more ubiquitous in the territory in the West Bank, there have been many home demolitions carried out precisely to protect state land. The Palestinian housing minister said in Ramallah Al-Ayam, a Palestinian newspaper, that many people took over lands they did not own. He's trying to protect state land on which people are building illegally. Palestinians are building illegally. I can give you the date of this.
No, let's hang on, Jeff. Alex, excuse me. You've made a point here, and instead of Jeff responding, let's go all the way to Hanan Ashrawi.
Yeah. Okay, there have been no home demolitions by the Palestinians, by the Palestinian Authority, neither under occupation by what he calls Fatah Hawks or whoever, and there have been no home demolitions, even though there were certain houses that were built illegally. There was one case in which... Yes, in which there was an attempt to remove one floor in Gaza that I know of. But according to all the reports we have seen, and I have been a persistent, not just follower of human rights, but an activist on behalf of human rights, there were no house demolitions.
Going after
but
houses.
This has been used, I'm sorry, the Israeli occupation uses not legal laws, but it uses military orders. And as a belligerent occupant, it is in violation of the Fourth Geneva Convention to demolish people's homes.
Well, wait a minute. Let's stay on Alex's issue. Alex, you dispute.
It's been reported by the AP. It's been reported by Reuters.
When David Bar-Ilan says that the Israeli government demolished Jewish homes, this isn't true. We haven't had a single case of a whole house demolished by Israel of Jewish Israelis. And when you talk about the Palestinian Authority and you equate it with an occupier and you say that the Palestinian Authority demolished homes, this is not true, because the Palestinian Authority, even though it does have zoning restrictions and you do need building permits, still has not resorted to demolishing even illegally built homes by Palestinian law, not by military order of the Israeli occupiers. It hasn't done that because it understood the difficulty, the meaning of a home in Palestine. We are not a mobile population. Our houses are built of stone, and they are built for centuries. They are not used for one generation. A house is your identity, your security, your past, and your future, and the future of your children.
Jeff.
Therefore, the Palestinian Authority is very careful, even though some houses have been built illegally.
Jeff Halper, the question was directed at you. Why don't you respond briefly, if you would?
Well, we're not opposed, in any way to a real legal system and an actual zoning system that serves the needs of the population. I think every government, including the Palestinians, recognizes that there have to be laws, and demolition takes place all over. That's true if there's a substantive, really real reason why this is the case, and people have a role in setting those planning regulations and laws and so on. What we're talking about is something completely different. We're talking about laws and planning and demolitions that are used as tools for controlling the lives of other people. The demolitions have absolutely nothing to do with planning or law. Plans, zoning, laws are all used as simply a pretext, a facade for a political agenda, and unfortunately, I say this as an Israeli, Israel has used these laws as a cover for pursuing a political agenda, which is again agenda of control and occupation. Now, if the Palestine, I'm also not aware at all, and I think I'm on the ground enough. There is no campaign, as far as I know, of the Palestinian Authority to demolish houses. There could be a situation, obviously, because Israel has built all over, that as Palestinians begin to take land and they're trying to take their land back and they're trying to rationally plan the land, that they'll have to demolish and so on. But that is a legitimate function of a government, like David Bar-Ilan says, is to zone and to plan. We're not opposed to that. What we're opposed to is Israel demolishing the houses of other people who are under occupation, who have no human rights, who have no who have taken no part in making these laws or making these plans, and using demolitions as a way of controlling them and keeping them confined to small little enclaves and ghettos.
1-800-423-TALK, 1-800-423-8255. Let's take another call. Miriam, you're on the connection. Thanks for calling.
Yes, hi there. I'd like to just give a few numbers that are relevant to this discussion. I don't have the latest, most accurate ones, but I can tell you that in 67, the Jewish population was about 225,000, 230,000, and the Arab population on the eastern side of Jerusalem was 75,000. Jerusalem has expanded enormously since then. It is now, it has a population of about 550,000, as far as I know, and the Arab population is about 175 or 180. So in Bar-Ilan has been talking percents. I'm giving you a literal number. The increase in the number of the Arab population is considerable, from about 75,067 to more than double of that at this time.
And your view is that the Palestinian population should be held down?
I don't think it has to be held down. These things, the cities are organic. People come, people go. The Jews who are moving out, the Jews who are moving in, the Palestinians who are moving out, and Palestinians who are moving in. To say that from Israel's point of view, certainly from a Jewish state's point of view, the idea that its capital should be a majority Jewish is certainly an idea. For that to be a policy that is has an effect in house demolitions, that is simply not the case. There is a discrepancy between the bits of information that people are throwing out there. People are saying, Halperin is talking about thousands of demolition orders, and that may be true. There are many, many, many more demolition orders than are executed. Bar-Ilan is talking about 20 actual demolitions. That's the reality of how much is being executed. And I would say, I would fault the Jerusalem municipality for not following more of those orders. They have orders to demolish. There's such an aggressive building on the Arab side of illegal building. They should demolish those houses because it is illegal.
And let's go to, let's hear from David Bar-Ilan.
I just want to say something about the repeated claim that the Arabs live here in enclaves, in ghettos. You know, once I was, as you know, the editor of the Jerusalem Post. By the way, I was never a cabinet member of the Netanyahu government. I was the head of communications, just for the historical record. But I was the editor of the Jerusalem Post, and I suggested once a story about the houses of the rich and famous, all of which would be of Jerusalem Arabs and the way they live. Because the luxury and the size, the dimensions, the munificence of the buildings that are owned by Arabs in Jerusalem, I think would strike anyone who comes here after listening to that, to talk about ghettos and living in bad conditions. You should only see the kind of expansion and the kind of luxurious building that is being done by Arabs in Jerusalem without any molestation whatsoever by the government.
Hanan Ashrawi.
But I don't know. To add a sort of class discrimination in addition to racism is just horrible. There are Palestinians who are wealthy in Jerusalem. Of course, there are Palestinian families who have been there for hundreds of years and for a couple of thousand years as well, and longer. Jerusalem, after all, is 5,000 years old as a city. And there are Palestinians who are affluent, and these are a minority. On the other hand, if you look at the population studies, you will see that Palestinians live 3 to 4 persons per room, according to population studies by Amnesty, 3 times more than that of Israeli houses. And you will see that while withholding building permits from Palestinians, they've been building settlements, illegal settlements, on confiscated Palestinian land for Israeli Jews to come and live in occupied Eastern Palestinian Jerusalem.
And
this has created a demographic imbalance, yes, despite the fact that Palestinians are suffering serious conditions in Jerusalem, the majority of them. And yet they persist to stay there and to come back to Jerusalem.
And the last word, and the last word belongs to someone who's lived through this, Salim Shawamri, excuse me. You've built 3 times. You've been knocked down twice. The third home is a wreck. If it's knocked down again, will you build again?
Sorry, again?
If your third home is demolished, will you build a fourth time?
Yes, I will build it. 14 times, because let me say that I don't have another place to go. This is my land. This my 10 years working in Saudi Arabia to collect the money to buy this land. I'm a refugee. I'm a refugee from 1948, living in a camp. and overcrowded people. So I will rebuild it for 10 times until I have the right to live in my land.
Thank you to all of our guests. It's a very difficult subject, and thanks to the callers as well. You're listening to The Connection from WBUR Boston.
Cassettes of The Connection are available for $15, including shipping and handling. To order, call 1-800-909-9287. That's 1-800-909-9287.
Funding for The Connection comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where The Connection is produced, and from the Alaire Corporation. PRI, Public Radio International. From Boston University, this is WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. We're funded by you, our listeners, and by MotherNature.com, providing natural products and healthy advice online. MotherNature.com.